Let's go to the hotline and talk with my good buddy, Phil Elson, who I believe is on the road right now with the Arkansas Travelers. Phil.
Yeah, are you telling me you actually garden in your backyard, RJ?
Not in the backyard. I redid my entire front flower bed out front of the house, and so I planted all kinds of flowers and everything, and it looks real nice.
Hey, tell you what, next Tuesday the Travs are off, and I'll be back from Midland in early, about probably like 9 in the morning. You want to come over after you're done with the show with no name and help me with some flowers in the front yard?
Well, here's the thing. I've got this thing with this person out at this place that I have to do, so I don't know.
It sounds like an excuse I can't accept. I'll see you Tuesday, man.
Sounds good. Phil Elson, I always like to have you on just because not only are you my broadcast partner on a couple different sporting events, but you're one of the smartest men I know when it comes to the game of baseball. And last night we saw Tim Lincecum throw his second career no-hitter. And really, we were talking about Hall of Famers, Phil, earlier, and you've got a Cy Young winner in Phil Lincecum, on Tim Lincecum. Is he a Hall of Famer right now?
No, I mean, he hasn't pitched long enough to be a Hall of Famer. He's only in his eighth year. But
is he 30, though? I mean, he's younger, 31 or something, so he has...
He's 30 years old, but the thing about Lincecum, it's so interesting that he's thrown a no-hitter in these last 2 years, but he hasn't been the dominant pitcher that he was when he won, you know, Cy Young Awards a couple of times. He's won two of them in 2008, 2009, and in those years he combined to go 33-12 with an ERA about 250. I mean, these last 2 years he's thrown no-hitters, and his last two seasons combined he's 6-5 now, but his ERA is about 4.5, and he had a 4.30 ERA last year. It was over 5 the year before. He led the NL in losses in 2012. So he's had such an interesting career coming out of Washington, especially with the fact that he's such a small guy, and he's got that really cool delivery where he's putting everything into it. And he was dominant for 5 or 6 years, and then kind of the opposite of dominant for a little. I mean, remember, he was left out of the starting rotation for the Giants in the World Series 2 years ago. He'd had such a bad year. So I would say, I mean, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer right now. But you kind of wonder if he's able. I mean, he's been dominating against the Padres and no-hitters the last 2 years. You know, not to take away from what he's done, but the Padres right now are one of the worst-hitting teams in Major League Baseball history.
Right.
But again, it's not to take away what he's done from them. And I'm not saying you got to go throw no-hitters against the Angels and the Dodgers and stuff like that.
They're still professionals, yeah.
Yeah, they're still great. I mean, they're still hitters that made it, you know, to the major league. But I just feel like, you know, Lincecum probably would need to regain that dominance on a seasonal basis in order to be considered for the Hall of Fame. But, I mean, you're right about that, Matt. He's still young. He's 30. I think he's in very good shape. He's always kept himself in good shape. I can't remember an injury. I think he's always been healthy. So... what's to say that it's not just a little bump in the road? Remember, Roger Clemens had a little bump in the road, too, and the Red Sox let him go to Toronto, and, you know, he won back-to-back Cy Young Awards with Toronto, and, you know, his career lasted a long, long time. He might have had some help from, you know, science
right.
In some cases, but Clemens had the same little hiccup in his career, and there have been other pitchers that the same thing has happened. So I think what Lincecum has shown, and you saw this with guys like Pedro Martinez, and Greg Maddux, when they lose a little bit on the fastball, they still are able to figure out ways to get out. I mean, Pedro turned from a guy that was blowing away guys at 98, 99 miles an hour to a guy that, and he always had a great changeup, but to a guy that literally pitched off the changeup because he wasn't throwing 95 or 94 anymore. So I think Lincecum has, you know, it sounds like he's had to make some of those adjustments to learn how to pitch.
And before I ask you another baseball question, I want to get your thoughts a little bit, if you know, if you've been checking out the World Cup. I don't know a lot about soccer, but it's been fun to be a fan of soccer. And kind of what are your thoughts on the World Cup so far?
Well, I watched every minute of the match today against Germany, and it was it was thrilling. I didn't think the U.S. had much at the end, but then the last 2 or 3 minutes, they had some pretty close scoring chances inside the box. I mean, my history with soccer is, I think, as a lot of people my age in their late 30s. I played growing up, you know, in youth soccer leagues, and we had an indoor soccer team in Pittsburgh that I was a fan of until they moved out of town. But I lost the interest in soccer on that sort of a level because it's not on that level in the United States. I don't watch MLS. I'm not interested in MLS. I'm not interested in the English Premier League very much.
But, check out World Cup, yeah.
I don't have teams that I root for or care for in those cases. But when it comes to international competition, you know, the Olympics, the Gold Cup, the World Cup, I'm interested, and I don't have anything against the game of soccer as it's constructed. I think it's fun to watch when you get world-class athletes out there like this World Cup.
That's a good point. I'm with you.
I've had a blast watching it.
We're world-class, you know, when you get the elite of the elite. And so back to a baseball question. I just saw how they're going to restructure the Home Run Derby, and I think we could all tell you where we were when that awesome Home Run Derby with Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa, and really out of all the all-star kind of events, the Home Run Derby is something I love to watch. What are your thoughts on how they've restructured the Home Run Derby?
Well, I know that they have a new sort of a bracket system. I haven't figured the whole thing out yet because when it comes down to the Home Run Derby, I just think people want to see. I just think they just want to see long balls. I don't really think they care what the structure of it is. They just want to see as many home runs as they possibly can. The balls are made differently. They're wound tighter, so they fly farther. And Pat Bradley brought it up. I went on with him and Justin late last week, and he said it's kind of like watching the three-point contest because people love distance. They love to see, you know, a ball flying as far as it possibly can over a fence, just like you like to see a guy, you know, shoot 15 to 20 three-pointers within a one-minute, you know, period. I think that's a lot of fun. My big thing about the All-Star game, Matt, doesn't have anything to do with the Home Run Derby. It's all about why are we determining where the World Series, where
I agree with you 100%. I think that's one of the worst rules in professional sports. Think if they did that for the NBA or the Pro Bowl. I mean, you know, if you had the Super Bowl and stuff, I'm 100% with you. That should not matter that conference or whatever gets home field advantage.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was an overreaction to a tie game in the All-Star game. It's an overreaction to people feeling like the All-Star game has become an afterthought to the people that are taking part in it. But I'll tell you this, and I saw this at Dickey Stevens Park on Tuesday night in the Texas League All-Star game. You get guys on a field that are professional athletes. They're competitive by nature. I, the managers need to manage the game a little differently in that case. I mean, don't use your pitchers in a situation where you're just going to throw them out there for one guy. I mean,
right.
Let's manage this like a regular baseball game. I understand that your starter is going to go one or two innings, but let's manage this like a real baseball game. I just don't feel – I feel like it was an awful overreaction because the last thing that you should be doing is determining, like Vin Scully said, the crown jewel of the baseball world upon an exhibition.
Yeah.
I mean, let's determine who has home field of the World Series based on who's got the better record. I just feel that makes so much more sense. Or switch it around every other year like they used to. But they did that when baseball teams shared stadiums with football teams. They don't do that anymore, except if it's Oakland. Oakland's the only city that actually has a stadium where the football team and baseball team still play in the same place.
That's a good point.
And so, you know, Oakland, you know, the Athletics are pretty darn good. It might, you know, have some scheduling quirks for them if they were to get that far, which they haven't in a long time. But I just, you know, come on, it's 2014. We have baseball stadiums, we have football stadiums. We can schedule it.
Phil Ellison of the Arkansas Travelers joining us on Overtime. You know, I think one of the big stories so far this baseball season has been how well Masahiro Tanaka has played up to this point. He's 11-2 on the season, has a 2.11 ERA. And Phil, we've seen guys come in from Japan and overseas that you know, they're okay. They had all this hype, but when they got to the major leagues, it just didn't pan out. Yu Darvish was a good example. He actually has panned out, but Masahiro Tanaka, this guy is the real deal.
Well, you know, one of the things that separates Tanaka from, I think, some of the other pitchers that came from Japan is that he's not just a guy that relies on the breaking pitch. If you watch Japanese baseball, it's very much a breaking ball game. The pitchers throw a ton of sliders, curveballs. And if you're going to succeed in Major League Baseball in the United States, you better be able to put your fastball where you want to put it, or you better throw 90, you know, in the 90s. And be able to get some swings and misses on that. Tanaka has that. He's got a good fastball. Aside from the fact that he's got six other pitches, which he can put almost wherever he wants, and he's got this slider that's out of nowhere. Daisuke Matsuzaka was the opposite. Matsuzaka, who came out of Japan, that was just as heralded as Tanaka. He had a good year with Boston. He ended up getting overused a little bit, and he doesn't quite have the repertoire or the fastball that Tanaka does. Hideo Nomo. Remember, Nomo was the first that came from Japan, and it was a firestorm. And he took over in 1995, I believe. He was the Rookie of the Year in the National League, and he threw in the mid 90s. Mm-hmm. He basically was a two pitch pitcher. He was a fastball splitter guy, and the fastball and splitter look alike until the splitter dives out of the zone. But he threw hard enough to get swings and misses on that. And I think that's one of the things that separates Tanaka from some of the other Japanese pitchers. But I don't know if anybody could have expected him to, be 11-1 or 11-2.
Hey, Phil, real quick, we're about to hit the break. I want to ask you, do you think they may be overusing him a little bit? I mean, he's already thrown 106 innings this year. I mean, that's by far most than anybody else on the team. Well, Kuroda's got 95 innings, but it just seems like they may be trying to overuse him a little bit.
Well, and in Japan, I know they get an extra day of rest for starting pitchers instead of where in the United States they get 4 days of rest. Japanese pitchers usually get 5 days of rest. But they also are used to throwing more pitches in each start. So I just have a feeling he's used to going out there and throwing a little bit longer than most pitchers. So, that is a lot of innings, but it looks like he's probably he'll be pitched 240, 250 innings. That's not all that bad. He's a big guy. He's strong. I bet you his body can handle that.
Cool. Phil Ellison, hey, you guys are headed to where, Tulsa?
No, we're in Frisco, Texas right now, taking on your favorite Double-A team aside from the Travs, and then we go to Midland. 5 days left on the road trip, and hopefully win a few.
Hey, I thought it was nice there was 9,000 folks at the All-Star game at Dickie Stephens Park.
I got to tell you, that was one of my proudest moments since I moved to Little Rock. I thought that the fans showed up. The guys at the ballpark who run the place did a tremendous job. The field looked great. The game was wonderful. The weather was perfect. It was one of the greatest days in Traveler history. It was a thrill.
Phil Ellison of the Voice of the Arkansas Travelers.
Man.
Hey, thanks, buddy. Be safe in Frisco. And tell my folks I said hello while you're down there.
I'll shout it out towards Athens, okay?